Hello, this is Debbie.
Hi, this is Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
How are you?
Hello, this is Bea.
Hi, Bea.
Happy to see that there was a code from Mexico. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. That's thanks to Teresa. Who else is on the call?
Hi, Debbie. It's Teresa.
Hey, Teresa. Are we recording yet?
We are.
Great. And is anybody else on the call?
It shows four people.
So maybe someone's on mute. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started.
One person went for a drink of coffee or something, I think. I don't know if
quite
she's
possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Quite possibly. Well, I'm going to get started because I have a lot to cover tonight. We're talking about the attic, and the attic mm-hmm. is a big, big, big clutter-clearing project. And so I want to be sure we have plenty of time so I can leave enough time at the end for you all to ask questions. Your attic. It's supposed to be a great storage area in your home. And at first, it probably was. But over time, most attics become dirty places cluttered with all kinds of stuff, most of which is not all that valuable. But going up there and doing something about it, if you're like most people, you put off clearing out and organizing your attic until the cows come home. Even writing about how to tackle an attic was overwhelming for me, and I put off writing the spa plan even longer than I procrastinated writing the garage plan. Excuse me. Sneeze. Excuse me. Like many garages, attics are complicated places to clear and organize. There's so much stuff, so many kinds of things, lots of negative energies from dust, dirt, and grime. No wonder people spend more time thinking about how to clear their attic than actually doing the work. I want to start off by letting you know that the attic is the area of your home that holds the energies of your hopes and aspirations. So it's a pretty important place. Most of us think, oh, well, it's just the attic. I'm not going to worry about it. But from a feng shui perspective, it holds the energy of your hopes and aspirations. When it's packed, disorganized, and dirty, there are many energy blocks. And many things block you achieving your hopes and aspirations. And I hope you'll use that information to fuel your determination to create a clutter-free and organized attic, because you want to get more of your hopes and aspirations. Now, I've broken this plan up, like I did last month with the garage, into segments because it is complicated. And the first segment is set the stage for success. First of all, be sure to choose the right time of year. Most of us do this pretty easily. If you live in an area where there are four seasons, the best time for tackling an attic is usually early spring and late fall when the temperatures are moderate and not toasty or freezing. Since most attics aren't temperature controlled, you want to be sure you're doing it at a time when the attic is going to be comfortable. Otherwise, you will quit. Also, choose the right time of day. We all have different times of day that our brain works best, and I recommend that you choose the time that works with your brain. If you're a morning person, morning would be a good time. If you don't really, your brain doesn't come alive until mid-afternoon, you might want to wait till mid-afternoon. But also choose the right time in terms of temperatures. If you wait too late to clear your attic, the sun will heat up the roof, and it'll be hard to do. So you've got to sort of figure out what time works best in terms of temperature and your brain power. Now, I highly recommend that you schedule a date or dates to clear your attic and treat it as you would a dentist or doctor's appointment, as a firm commitment that you will keep. Because if you wait to feel in the mood when you wake up on a Saturday or a Sunday, you'll never do it. Because nobody wakes up on a Saturday or Sunday gung-ho to clean out their attic. It really has to be something you decide, this is it. I'm going to start. And I say start because you may not be able to clear your attic in one day. You may have to do it in segments. That leads me to the next way to set the stage for success is to set a reasonable goal for what you'll accomplish. Some addicts are small and can be completed in one clearing session of 2 to 8 hours. Others require multiple sessions because they're large and contain huge quantities of items that have been accumulated over decades. The longer you've had the stuff in there, the longer it's going to take to get it out or to even make decisions about what should stay and what should go. If clearing and organizing the whole attic in a day is not remotely possible because it's completely packed, choose a specific time goal, like working 2 hours, or a specific task goal, like clearing one side of the attic or removing specific items that can be hauled to the dump or to be donated. That way you'll set yourself up for success. Pick a shorter amount of time, the amount of time you're likely to be able to do. When you accomplish a specific goal, you'll feel good, and that's going to set the stage for future successes. Any progress will shift energies in the space from negative to positive. Any progress, even if you go up there for a half an hour, it's going to make a difference. Moving things and moving them out in particular really helps. If you do choose to clear your attic in multiple sessions, be sure to set up a schedule for subsequent sessions so that you don't do a one shot and that's it. Now, this next suggestion is huge. It's so important. Get help from at least one other person, preferably someone who is in relatively good shape and relatively strong. Most attics are accessed by stairs. So clearing attics requires multiple trips up and down stairs, lifting and hauling items that are bulky and heavy. That is very often one of the barriers to getting the work done. It just seems like too much, and it seems like an exhausting job, and it is. Trying to make decisions about what to keep, what to get rid of, how to organize the space, in addition to doing all the hauling of the items to be trashed and donated, is a setup for failure. I recommend finding a helpful friend, a willing family member, and I say willing, either because you're going to pay them to do it or because there's some, you know, they like spending time with you, something like that. You don't want to be hauling someone up there against their will because it'll make for an unpleasant experience. A teenager or college student who would like to earn a little money to help with the legwork, it can make all the difference in the progress you'll be able to make. I, at this point in my career, don't do attics unless we have some extra help because the running up and down the stairs just wears me out, and that's not the best use of my energy when I'm helping someone clear clutter. It's an exhausting process, so get help. Make sure you have adequate lighting in the space. Light is energy, and energy will make the decision-making process easier. When spaces aren't very light, your brain tends to run slowly and it sometimes will shut down. It's very difficult to make decisions in dim space. You might even need to bring up extra lighting. Some people will bring up one of those lights they can hang on a pipe and plug in using an extension cord and just hang in the right place so that they can see better. Light makes a huge difference. Also, reward yourself when you're done your clearing session. Actually, reward yourself after you're done each of your clearing sessions because you deserve it. Attics are tough. It's helpful to have something to look forward to after you face that kind of difficult task, something you'll only allow yourself if you make progress in your attic. Remember, just getting started in your attic is a significant hurdle to surmount. The negative energies in an attic caused by dirt, dust, grime, and all that static stuff can cause incredible resistance in even the most conscientious homeowner. Just remember, it's very likely that once you get started and begin to see and feel progress, you'll probably find yourself relieved to be dismantling your most dreaded clutter-clearing nightmare. The starting is the hard part, to get over that hump of, oh my God, it's so overwhelming, it's so dirty, it's so whatever. Your energy and enthusiasm are likely to increase once you can see and feel progress being made. The next segment is about where not to start. And this is what I say in almost every call that we have. But I may have somebody new here, and I want to be sure to cover it because this is so important. Don't start with small things. If you start with small things like loose toys, books, and paper, you will make little progress quickly, and your brain is likely to shut down. You must see significant results immediately to build enough momentum to keep going. Also, don't start trying to decide where to store specific items. It's quite possible that you may want to create a whole new order once your attic is actually clear and it's easy to see its contents. You may want to rethink where things belong. When it's in a chaotic state or is filled to the gills, its negative energy can be so overwhelming that the planning part of your brain will freeze. It's best if you do a significant amount of clearing and create some open space before you try to decide the locations of various categories of items. Now, where to start? You want to start where it's easiest to make decisions and where you will create the biggest energy shifts. Easy first, big energy shifts. In this process, the first thing you want to do is take a picture. Having a picture will allow you to see your progress as you move through the project and will give you cause for great celebration when you're finished. Identify a donation area and a trash area somewhere on the floor below, a place where you can, when you bring things out of the attic to be donated or trashed, you can drop them to wait until you're done with your session for the day before you move them further. Don't bother taking things all the way down to the trash or to your car until after you finished your session. Remove large items that you can donate or throw away. Start with the big stuff. Those items will be things you no longer love or use, things that you know will no longer serve you in the life you have or want to have. They're no longer in alignment with your hopes and aspirations. I recommend moving big items first because removing them causes big energy shifts that you'll be able to feel and create space so you can see that you're making progress. You've got to see and feel progress quickly to keep motivated, to keep going. I keep saying this because it's real easy to shift over to little things and all of a sudden you become paralyzed because you haven't seen any progress and you haven't felt any progress. When you move things, energy shift and things start feeling better. Move big things so you can reap the benefit of big energy shifts. Next, gather up and remove any obvious loose trash into bags or boxes. And remove the trash immediately. Trash is a source of negative energy. Removing it immediately makes the space both look and feel better, and it shifts negative energies to positive. That shift will encourage you and make continuing so much easier. Also, remove items that don't belong in the attic. Now, it may be that you haven't thought about this, but there's some things that just really aren't well suited for being stored in the attic because they can be harmed by temperature extremes or because they are infrequently used, and the attic is not the most convenient location for easy access. Some examples of things that really don't belong in the attic are candles or any type of item that melts, framed art, photographs, books, sporting equipment, and memorabilia. One of the articles this month, and I don't even know if it's been up, if it's up yet, but one of the articles focuses specifically on items that really should not be in your attic, so you can get more information about that there. Once you've removed enough items to begin to see progress and feel the benefit of the energy shifts, it's going to be so much easier to systematically review everything in the attic to determine if each item is something you're likely to use in the future. Guidelines for systematic review. Now you've gotten the big stuff out, you've gotten the trash out, you're ready to begin looking at everything step by step. Before you actually do that, it's a good idea to identify the major categories of items that will be housed in your attic. And make sure those categories are things that have a high probability of being used at least once a year. Because using items activates their energies and keeps them positive. The energies of items that are static, because they're rarely accessed or used, go dead over time and become negative. Attics are havens of negative energy, havens of dead energy, because things get thrown up there and then they just park there. Regularly accessed items could include luggage, which goes up and down whenever you take a trip, seasonal decorations that come out once a year and go back, off-season clothing goes out once a year and comes back, camping equipment, hopefully you're still camping and that would go out and then come back, or occasional use kitchen or party items, those things you use at holidays but you don't use any other time of the year, or perhaps you only use it in summer and there's no need to have space for it taken up by it in your kitchen. There will be some categories of items in your attic that's you can't help. They're going to be static and that's just the way it is, but keep those to a minimum. And when I think about that, the prime categories are archived papers, old tax forms, old investment broker documents, and furniture that's being stored for use in the future. For example, if you're holding on to it for your daughter to take to college, something like that. There will be some static things. There will be some things that don't have the best energy because they aren't ever moved. But try to keep that to a minimum, because this is the area of your hopes and aspirations. And movement up there is helpful. It stirs up energies, which makes it more probable that you will actually achieve your hopes and aspirations. Now, I mentioned before, start wherever it's easiest. When you're doing this systematic review, start where it's easiest, particularly in those areas where you're likely to find things that can be donated or trashed. You want to take a glance over the whole attic and go, okay, where is there a place where I can get rid of a lot of stuff? Because I know I'm going to trash it or I know I'm going to donate it. So take an overview shot visually first and decide where to begin. What would be easiest? What would be the least difficult to make those decisions about? Again, focus on the biggest items first. And allow yourself to jump around as long as you're still making progress. You do not have to work in a straight line. In fact, it's very hard to do that in a big space like this. You may be working on clothing and then see a piece of furniture nearby that really you don't want, and you take that down and get it out of there. A straight line isn't as important. What's more important is that you continue to make progress, that you keep moving. If you get stuck in one area, shift to another area to keep moving along. Make frequent trips to move items to be donated or thrown away out of the attic and take them to the donation and trash areas that you've identified below. Getting them out of the space will free up energy and that will motivate you to keep going. But be sure to return to the attic as soon as you've dropped off those items. Don't do the adult onset ADD thing where, oh, there's something I should do right now over here, and, oh, in the hall there's something else, and then you never return. Make sure you bring things down, drop them, and head back up. As you work, you might find that it makes sense to begin clumping items by category. That creates an order. For example, if you find luggage in three or four different locations, put all the luggage in one location. It may not be the permanent location for the luggage, but at least you'll be able to see how much you have of one particular category. don't worry about where the permanent homes will be for those clumps. That is best determined when a majority of the clearing is done. Now, as you're evaluating everything, ask yourself these questions. Do we use this item? Do I use this item? Am I likely to use it in the future? Is somebody in my home likely to use it in the future? Is it still in good condition? Is it worthy of being kept in the area of your hopes and aspirations? The attic's not a place for junk. Hopes and aspirations are pretty important. Not a great place to store stuff just because you can't stand to get rid of it, but you know you need to. Is it really worthy of being in that important place? And another thing to check out is, does it in any way hold the energy of your hopes and aspirations? For example, luggage holds the energy of travel and fun trips in the future. That may be part of what you want. Seasonal decorations hold the energy of future celebrations and shared times with friends and family. So those are associated with your hopes and aspirations. Check out what's up there. If you find it difficult to ask the above questions because you are overwhelmed by the disorder in the space, switch from asking those questions and just begin clumping like items so you can get a better idea of how many items you have in each category. Seeing that you have 5 pieces of luggage the same size when you're only likely to use 1 or 2 on a regular basis could motivate you to release some of the suitcases that are not in pristine condition. As I've said before, I'm going to reiterate this again, work from the largest items to the smallest items when sorting things by type, clumping like items and evaluating items. If you feel yourself becoming overwhelmed while you're working, stop, take a breath, deep breath, and try to figure out what shut you down. Don't just exit stage left and not even try to problem solve what happened. It's an opportunity to learn when you do shut down. Something shut you down. Did you gravitate to small items and have difficulty making decision about them? It's really normal to get distracted by things, and if you go to small items instead of focusing on the big items first, you're going to shut down. Did you look at the whole project and think, I'll never get this done? Sort of negative self-talk. Are you feeling put off by the nastiness of the space, the dust, dirt, and grime? It's really normal to just go, ugh, can't stand to be here. Or you may end up needing a dust mask because your allergies have gone bonkers. Once you've determined what shut you down, make a course correction and continue. For example, if you found yourself trying to make decisions about a box of old papers, most of you who are regulars on this call probably know that you never start with paper because that's a surefire way to quit. Shift from paper back to larger items. If your thoughts of not being able to finish the project shut you down, switch them to something like, this is hard, but I am getting it done. If dust and dirt are affecting your ability to work in the space, take a few moments, haul the vacuum cleaner up there, and vacuum the floors. Vacuum the floors of anything, any dust and dirt that's visible. I'm not suggesting that you dust, but certainly it's a really powerful thing when you vacuum an attic. My husband suggested it once when we did a major clearing. I'd never thought about vacuuming an attic. We brought our vacuum cleaner up there, and boy, the energy of the whole space felt entirely different when we sucked up all that old dust and dirt. Just removing that dirt can give you an incredible energy burst. Now, there are going to be some things in that attic that you just can't sort and evaluate up there, especially really smaller things. If you find it difficult to evaluate boxes of small things and papers, I recommend that you haul them down to the lower level to be evaluated in a space that has more light and better energies. Once you reviewed all the items and remove those that will be donated or trashed, and sorted them by category, you're ready to create permanent homes for the various categories that will be housed in the attic. I have a few guidelines for creating homes for each category, just to give you an idea of how to think about the space. It's a big space. Often attics don't have structure up there, like shelving or partitions or something to create. It's just one big open space, and it can become a jumbled mess easily if you're not real deliberate in setting up regions for placing things. Locate categories of items close to where they will be used. for example, your luggage would be best located close to the attic opening, since the luggage gets used more than once a year and more often than other attic items. Furniture that's being held for children going to college in a number of years could be stored further from the attic opening because it's not likely to be used with any frequency. So locate items based on how often you have to access them. Those that you use most often closer to the opening, those that you use least often further back. Don't mix items of different categories. For example, don't mix seasonal decorations with boxes with luggage. Mixing items of different categories makes seeing and finding any one item much more difficult. It's much easier to find things if all the items of the same type are located together in one location and not mixed with other types of things. By the way, what I'm sharing can be applied to any part of your house. These
Jeff Newsom.
Principles. Now, next, create clear boundaries between the categories. For example, if you use shelves in your attic, and some people actually do, and it's a great thing to do, I highly recommend the kind you can get at Home Depot and Lowe's, those plastic shelves that can just be, they're light, they can be assembled quickly, they're very strong, and they're great for storing boxes of things, boxes of old papers, boxes of seasonal decorations, that kind of thing. The more structure, the better. But if you use shelves in your attic, use one shelf or set of shelves for all off-season clothing, for example. Another shelf or set of shelves for archived papers and taxes. It's best not to mix items of different categories on the same shelf, if at all possible. When you mix them, the energies mix, and it's very hard to see what's where. If you have small items up there and they're not contained, I recommend that you put all the small items within any category into clear plastic bins so they can be visible and you won't have to waste time labeling them. They also won't get lost among the larger items and kind of disappear amongst all the quantity of things up there. Whenever you are getting bins to store things, always use clear plastic bins. I have found no reason to use an opaque container unless it contains Christmas gifts that you don't want other people to see. Otherwise, clear plastic is the best because you can look in and you know exactly what's in there. And when you do that, make sure that you have just items of the same category in the bin. If you mix items in a bin, it's going to look like a jumble, and that won't help you either. Clear plastic bins. Once your attic has been cleared and organized by category, vacuum the floors to remove all dust and dirt. Consider that one of your final celebrations. And then just enjoy the luscious feeling of a clutter-free, organized, and clean attic. There are no words to describe how empowering it feels when you've gotten what's over your head feeling really good. There's a great payoff for it. You're more likely to achieve your hopes and aspirations. What's above you, we perceive what's in our attics as a weight. it's a weight when we think about it because it's a big task to do. But we also, I think, physically can feel it as well. It's like pressure pushing down. Clear it out, and you're going to feel so light and energized. There's going to be a great reward. And finally, finish by taking a photo to document your success. That photo can also serve as a reminder of the location of each category in your attic, you know, if it becomes disorganized again. And it is likely that it will, because attics melt down over time. And I don't mean literally melt, but the order melts down when you get too busy and you can't take the moment to put things where they really belong because your life is nuts, or if the temperatures are too hot up there to go up there and place things where they really belong, it can get jumbled. So knowing where the categories belong will make getting reorganized that much easier the next time, if there is a next time. My recommendation in maintaining your attic is as soon as winter is over, go up and restore order, clear it out. Winter can be too cold to want to be up there. And as soon as summer is over, when it's too hot to be up there, I recommend going up again and doing another look-see, clear out. If you're clearing and taking a look and putting things back twice a year, you're not going to have a problem with your attic. It's when you put off doing it for year after year after year that you allow an incredible nightmare to form, and it's so much harder to get started and to take care of it. So maintenance matters. Now, when you're done with clearing the clutter and reclaiming order in your attic, pat yourself on the back for your hard work. Be sure that you celebrate. That a lot of people, they'll finish something and then they just zip right onto something else, or they act like it's not a big deal. If you clear out your attic, it's a big deal. So take the time to celebrate in some way. Be sure to ask for help from all family members to maintain the new order. I recommend that you bring the family members into the attic and actually show them where items of each category belong. Show off your attic and ask for their help. It's also a good idea to establish a no-dumping policy for your attic and ask all family members to honor it. Not long ago, I was in an attic helping a client who was getting ready to move, and we found boxes of miscellaneous stuff, which was not very valuable, really truly, it was like junk, up in the attic that one of her sons had just thrown into a box when his mom told him to clean his room, and it tossed in the attic. If you don't tell your family members that it's not okay to dump there, it looks like a good place to dump things. So I recommend that you ask for help from everybody. You might even consider putting a no-dumping sign on your attic door to at least remind everyone of your new commitment to treat your attic differently than it was treated in the past. Make a commitment to maintain attic order, and you'll reap the benefits of lower stress and greater feelings of control in all areas of your life. The way the attic feels affects the way you feel. It affects whether you get your hopes and aspirations. It can be a big space. Keep it clutter-free and organized, and its condition can anchor great quantities of positive energy in your home and in your life. When the energies of your attic are predominantly positive, there will be few barriers to achieving your hopes and aspirations. Now, I've reached the end of what I had planned to share with you, and I want to open up the floor to questions, because I'm sure that you all have questions. Who wants to go first? All right.
Maybe
yes.
I will.
I'm hearing two people now.
Oh.
Don't worry. Go ahead.
This is Lorraine, and I was wondering about the dust, dirt, grime situation as you're working on it. We've used a shop vac upstairs and started with vacuuming off the cobwebs and such from items as best we could before digging into things. And that did seem to help, as you said, to feel more positive about actually getting into things and sorting them out. But you mentioned also using possibly a dust mask. Is there any certain type or just
no?
Any,
no, just any kind of dust mask is going to help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially if you are allergic. And most people will end up sniffing and sneezing before an attic is done. So especially if you have allergies, I highly recommend that. And I want to
mm-hmm.
applaud you for getting rid of the cobwebs and doing that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just to even think about it. That's great.
Right, that is a big turnoff. And I also tend to wear gloves anymore just because sometimes there's unpleasant things you run into and
oh, yeah.
you're up there. So
bugs maybe.
Seems helpful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And it is so dirty. My hands get black when I'm hauling
mm-hmm.
things out of the attic. It is so dirty. Feeling uncomfortable because your hands are dirty can make you want to stop as
right.
well.
Right.
So wearing gloves is a
mm-hmm.
great idea. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who did I hear? Was that Bia?
Yes, it was me.
Uh-huh.
My question is, what is the equivalent of an attic in an apartment? My main question. And I also was thinking, in my apartment, and the other one was thinking of my parents' house,
mm-hmm.
which has four or five, how do you say that, pisos, different levels. But they don't really have an attic as so, but there's a room where they store things, and it's the upper level also, and it's where they also have their washing machine and their washing room and
where
they dry clothes. Maybe that's like the equivalent for them, but for an apartment, well,
for an apartment, I mean, some apartments actually have attics with pull-down stairs, but I'm guessing that yours doesn't.
No.
So, well, that's just good. There isn't really an equivalent there. So it's all that more important that what you have on the level inside your apartment, that you keep that clear. Because imagine there are energies in whatever above you, but you can't do anything about it. So what you do is you try to improve the energies of everywhere else.
Okay.
You've heard me speak often enough that you know that clutter anywhere is going to have a negative effect on some aspect of your life. So,
yeah. I am just remembering, I do have a place in this, but it's up in the ceiling of the building.
Uh-huh.
And there's a place where we have for hanging clothes to dry.
Uh-huh.
That's a place of, I mean,
and
supposedly it belongs to me, so that could be also.
It definitely could.
Okay.
Yeah, anything that's above your head, up in
yeah.
the eaves up there, yeah, holds the energy of your hopes and aspirations, and you want to be sure that it's not holding a bunch of dead stuff, a bunch of static stuff.
Okay.
That is not likely to be used or accessed with any kind of regularity. When you access things, bring them down, take them back up, it's sort of like you reactivate the energy and it becomes more positive again. That's why it's important to store things in your attic, have the majority of the things you store in your attic be things that you do access at least once a year if you want to keep your hopes and aspirations kind of fresh and
mm-hmm.
have more chance of achieving them.
Okay, and back to my parents' house, I'm thinking maybe they don't call that room an attic, but it holds a washing machine and a dryer machine, which has not been used in years, I mean, decades.
So it's a storage area, and it has an extra... Do they have a washing machine and a dryer somewhere else?
No, it's the one that they have up... No, it's... I mean, it's supposedly could be used, but it's not longer, it doesn't work anymore,
oh.
And they don't use it ever.
Oh, well, then you know what that means, right?
Okay. And so that's their broken. Place. I mean, even though they don't call it an addict, that's where their hopes and aspirations are.
Well, I don't know. I mean, without seeing their place and where it's located in their home, it's
mm-hmm.
hard for me to say. But you know that dead bodies,
yeah.
like a dead appliances,
mm-hmm. Yes, I know,
are not a good thing. And really, especially big things that are dead, not a good idea, because they're going to attract brokenness or health issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wouldn't worry about the hopes and aspirations part if they don't have a real addict. Don't worry about that. I would just, you want to have the best energy in the rest of the home that you can.
Mm-hmm.
Starting by removing those two pieces,
yes.
two appliances.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Any other questions? Are you all ready to clear? Does anybody need to clear?
Yes, a lot.
Well, let me ask you this. Those of you that are on the call, do you know what's blocking you from getting it done? And if you'd be willing to share, I think it might be helpful for others to hear it because they probably have similar challenges. What's blocking you from actually tackling your attic?
I cannot speak of an addict in particular, as we already said, but I think I have identified what's blocking me, and I think it has a lot to do with what you mentioned some minutes ago, that I tend to, when I see it overwhelming, and I see it as a huge task I will never end, that's
uh-huh.
when I block.
Thank you for sharing that, Bea, because I was just working with a coaching client today,
mm-hmm.
and she has a garage that is an oh-my-God kind of garage, packed, packed, packed. And her tenants, some of us are wired so that we see the big picture first, and some of us are wired so that we see the big picture, but we can quickly move to a small piece and tackle it without being blown out of the water by the big picture. And the people who see the big picture first are the ones that have the most clutter, and they have the hardest time beginning a difficult organizing task. And let me share a little story with you about what this client did. We discovered something today. Last time I saw her, she agreed that she would take one step in her garage, which was the equivalent of a horrible attic. And she decided she would move all of her bottled water to one place closer to the back door so she could access it. It was spread around. Some had been dropped here and there and everywhere. And that she just had one goal, and she gathered all that water together, put it in one area, and she learned a few things. One is she felt better right away, like, I've made progress. It engendered a whole lot of hope for the rest of being able to do the rest of the garage. and she realized that focusing on a single thing was much easier than looking at the whole thing. So if you get stuck in your attic, if you get stuck in any big project, find one thing. And in this case, she picked water because the containers of water are quite sizable and very easy to see, and were easy to move. And you need to make sure it's big, and you're going to feel some significant progress. And that left her so jazzed that it made her realize, I can take one step each week, and that's something happening. Energies are shifting, and if she, you know, each week she's likely to feel good because she succeeded doing that one thing. That is so much more important than looking at the whole thing and doing nothing. So if you can break out one piece and focus on big things.
Yes. Actually, I've noticed that when I see the big picture, when I see all that has to be done, well, I'm tired before I begin. But then if I have the peace of mind to tell to myself, to say to myself, hey, take one step now, and then you will worry about next step. But right now, just take one step, then that's when I can do some progress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. One step. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can only be accomplished one step at a time. But you want to be strategic with that one step and make sure it is something big. That one step. Also, don't start with difficult things, because then you might not be able to accomplish the one step you're trying to accomplish. Start with easy stuff that's big. Break that overwhelm roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have a barrier to getting started?
I think time and help.
Hello?
Having time, not having enough time, and help.
Not having time and help.
Yeah. Hard to find
and
help,
and
it's fun to have a block of time to start it and finish it, or start part of it and finish part of it.
Can you speak up just a little bit? I'm having a little difficulty hearing you.
I have a hard time. One of my roadblocks is not having enough time or not having enough help to help me.
Okay. Can we focus on time for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
How are you thinking about time that you need for doing an attic? What are your thoughts about how much time you should allocate?
Well, I mean, you've said like 2 to 3 hours is kind of the limit. And even to start on one area, or like baby steps and just start on one area, I think it's going to create a whole other project to have to do, because I'm bringing it to another space and I have to get rid of it. And I just want to have a lot of time to go and do that and get it done.
Okay. So if you're wanting to have time to make some significant progress, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because you don't have to do 2 to 8 hours. I work with clients for 2 hours at a time. After about 2 hours, people's brains start melting down a little bit,
yeah,
making
yeah.
decisions. So a lot of times doing more than 2 hours is really not possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can do it a step at a time, which might be 20 minutes, and removing two things and throwing them back in your car.
Mm-hmm.
You can start that small and begin to make progress. And if you do it that way, what you're actually doing is loosening up the masses of stuff up there. When you pull things out, you kind of loosen it up so that it's not as overwhelming to think about making the time. And when you do that, you shift energies, and a lot of times you're more likely to say, I want to make more time. This feels so good. So I recommend you start very small if time is an issue. And it might be every weekend you take one thing out of there that you know you can give away and throw it in the back of your car. I mean, that's pretty small, but you're shifting energies.
Yeah.
And you're setting your intention for eventually getting the whole thing done. What does that sound like?
Yeah. Instead of having several hours, just take 30 minutes. Or instead of a whole different area of the room, then just take a few things. Yeah, it does make sense. It seems to be more doable. It's not quite as overwhelming.
Right, yeah. It is. I mean, and I think you'll find that it is. And because I think we can do amazing things with our heads in terms of blowing out of proportion how long things are going to take,
mm-hmm.
and making it in our head this, oh, my God, there's no way I could do this, when, in fact, if you chop off little pieces, eventually you're going to find you're really doing it, and it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some places are really bad, but certainly getting stuff out of there is going to be movement in the right direction. And the organizing up there isn't as important as getting stuff out of there so that you have the energy shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's by a trickle, it still matters. Now, the getting help thing, that may require more creativity. You're a teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what grade do you teach?
Second.
Second. Oh, too young. I was like, if you were teaching high school, I'd say, I'm sure you can find somebody. Or do you belong to a church?
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes I don't really want people over here looking at that stuff.
Oh, it's a privacy thing or a safety thing.
Yeah.
You got to be comfortable with them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have a girlfriend that you might be able to trade supporting each other?
I just need to really block off some time to really make that my priority.
So you need to block off time, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? One of my friends who was a former client is doing, she's moved away, and she said, you know, since you're not here, I've had to find another way to do things. And she has two other friends, and for the next 3 weeks, they've blocked off a couple hours each Saturday. And they're going to one person's house one Saturday to work in her garage, another person's house the next weekend to work in her garage, and then the third person the third week. And they're going, and doing it that way, it's going to make it a social event,
mm-hmm.
and everybody benefits. And it's much easier often to help someone else clear their space than it is to clear your own. And the support of girlfriends doing this kind of thing can be absolutely awesome, as long as they're not judgmental and controlling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another idea, too. I imagine you have some teacher friends who, you know, wouldn't mind doing something in their house that you could help them with,
mm-hmm.
and trade off.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's another idea. Anything else? Thank you for bringing that up, though. Those are both real important barriers that are quite common.
Debbie,
yes?
I just have a comment to what she said. I forgot your name. Sorry.
Anne?
Well, that is that for me, I mean, also that time related to seeing the task as something too big for me. Sometimes I've noticed that when I feel it's huge to do, also I get overwhelmed because I think I must do it in one session. And then when I realize, no, it's not that way. I mean, it has to be in different small blocks of time, as you said. Then that's when I move. I mean, if I see together that being a huge task to accomplish and also that having little time to do it, then is when I block the most. But also what has helped me a lot is what you have suggested in other times, to do maybe it's not a clutter clearing project in itself, but to dedicate 10 minutes every night before going to sleep. I mean, that has helped also. Maybe I don't do it daily, but those 10 minutes I see I can move things, and at least it helps, I mean, not to accumulate more energy. And I wanted to share another blog I remembered. That one I'm not sure how to solve it. And it's when I am doing things and, as you say, maybe my problem is I start with small stuff, but sometimes I just need to do some things and I pick things up. And when that thing includes not only a decision to make, but a task should be in my to-do list. Like, for example, I pick something that needs to be fixed. Then I say, oh, I could do this in 5 minutes. And then I start picking things up, and everything has something to be done with it. So that's when I block. And I say, well, either I declutter and I put some, I organize, but if there are only things that are cluttered because I need to do things with them, it's when I get blocked. Do I get myself clear?
Yes, I think so. I think what I'm hearing is that part of the overwhelm is not only is something out of place, whatever, but it requires that you do a task to do
yeah.
something with it. My suggestion is that you clump those things together. as you find them, put them in the to-do area. Just like when you're working on a desk with papers, you clump all your action items on one side of the desk. Don't mix them up with filing and other things so that you can see them and get them done. If you've got a broken toy here and something else that you need to take back to the store, which is a task, you know, put all those to-dos separately. I actually make a separate pile for things to do outside the house from things that can be done inside the house. And at least clump those things together. Don't worry about thinking about how to do it or when you'll do it or anything, but clump them together and then keep on with your clearing. Because it doesn't make sense to stop and do the task when you're doing the clutter clearing. That will definitely derail you if you try to do tasks when you're clutter clearing. Best to save them and then set aside some time, some other time, to work on the tasks.
Okay.
That's
I love, because I don't see the time for doing them coming.
Well, if they're really important, they'll get loud, and all of a sudden you'll have to, and at least you'll know where the thing is to be able to do it. If they're not all that important, not doing them is not going to be a huge deal, other than it's broken stuff, and you really don't want that in your space. But, you know, it's a matter of prioritizing things.
Mm-hmm.
And at least putting them to the side, when you see how many different tasks you have to do, you can look at them and go, well, this can wait, but this has to be done now. And you can begin to plan your time based on the importance of those tasks to be done. When they're all buried, you don't do them, and you can't do them. But don't try to do them during the clutter clearing process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if something's going to take 2 seconds and it's not going to take you off course, sure. But if it's going to take more than a minute, I would say don't stop, because that you're switching gears then, and that gets you off track from, okay, do I love it? Do I use it? Does it stay? Does it go? You know, that kind of thing. It's like a different brainwave that's necessary to do something.
Yeah, and I think the most important for me of what you say is not mixing them up with
everything.
Absolutely.
So important. Keep those categories separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. We're getting close to the end of our time. Is there one more question? One more comment? I appreciate you all sharing your reality, because I think it's helpful for everybody to hear and take a look at what solutions could be possible.
Well, I was thinking that it's if you can't decide about throwing out or donating certain things, some other things that you may find when going through the attic stuff is repurposing certain objects. We found a few uses for things that we had up there that I wish I could think of specific examples right now. You might be able to mention some yourself, but that kind of kept them around where we still wanted to see items and use items, but in a different way than we would have 10 years ago, for instance,
right,
when we
right.
first had.
Mm-hmm. So you found another purpose, as you repurpose, as you say. You
mm-hmm.
held on to them thinking you could use them in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Right, right.
Right. It wasn't holding on to them just because you couldn't stand to get rid of it.
Right.
It was that it could still be useful. And it really depends on how much of that you have, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are limits to what makes sense. You know, if it ends up cluttering up the space or you taking up valuable space that would best be used by something used more often, then you might want to watch how much you hold on to. But that is true. if you actually are repurposers. Now, there's some people that hold on to things thinking they're going to repurpose them, and it never happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ready to repurpose someday, but repurposing never happens. But it sounds like you actually do it.
In some cases.
In some
not as good at it as I should be.
Well, and, you know, at some point, I recommend that you get real about that stuff. If you come across it over and over again and it's still there and nothing's happening, you know, remind yourself that it's in the area of your hopes and aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a barrier to getting them. Mm-hmm. Maybe that will motivate you to move them along and let somebody else have the benefit of trying to figure out what to do with that item.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we're right at the end of our time, and I want to thank you all for your questions and your comments and this nice discussion we've been able to have. And I'm happy to hear that, Lorraine, that you have actually been up in the attic working. Good for you. And I hope the others of you have some ideas that will help you get moving and biting off pieces that you can swallow. Do it at your pace in the way that works for you. So be sure, if you have any questions with the clearing of the attic, to post them on the forum on the site. I will be monitoring that and happy to answer questions for everybody or get ideas from other members. So thank you so much for being on the call tonight.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, David.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye.